We pray. Dear Lord, send your Holy Spirit down upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The text that I have chosen is the first verse, which was just read, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my wife and I have four boys, and when they were young, we went out and bought each of them a little Bible book. It had some stories of what you find in the Bible. It had beautiful pictures. And we read those little Bible stories to them again and again and again, and finally, all four of the books just fell apart. They were asking for another book, and so we bought them another book, and that fell apart. And finally, we handed them the Bible. When I was thinking of doing this for our kids, I was thinking of our text. What the disciples had been following the Lord Jesus Christ, observing this guy, and finally they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Just observing this man, this Jesus Christ, the attitude in which he had with his Father, the sincerity and the way he prayed, move these guys to say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I personally believe they certainly knew how to pray. They no doubt prayed a great deal. We know they talked to Jesus Christ in a way that was a prayer. But just observing the Lord Jesus Christ, they wanted an attitude like Jesus. "Lord, teach us to pray." It's sad, but there are many people out in the church who really don't want to grow in their spiritual life. They are at one point in their life, and that's where they want to stay. Jesus once said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What was the reaction of the people who heard those words from Jesus Christ? Just listen. "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you'll be made free?" Those people had reached a point in their life, they thought, "We can't go at a higher level. Look at where we are." And the sad part of it, they had even missed Jesus Christ as the true Messiah. Is it any different today? If we don't study the Word, it simply means we don't grow in our spiritual lives. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word." We have people in our churches who think they reach a certain point, even what they call confirmation, and that's it, it's over. Does that happen to us? I remember a number of years ago when I was at the seminary in Springfield, I thought I really had a personal devotional life. I was in the Word every day, and I really thought I was growing in my spiritual life, and then I went out in the parish and I had a mission congregation. And I worked hard, but there was something missing. I thought, you know, I don't have the devotional life I once had at the seminary. So my first pastoral conference, I sat around with older pastors, and I thought they had great wisdom. And so I poured out to them. I said, "Guys, I'm having problems with my devotional life, my prayer life, and my reading of the scriptures. What do you guys do?" So we went down the tables, and everyone just turned red in the face. He just looked at me. And finally, the circuit counselor kind of snickered and he said, "Jack, why don't you talk to the district president?" Did you hear what they were all saying? They were in the parish, but they were all having problems with their devotional life, their study of the Holy Scriptures. We need it, guys. You soon realize that people are not in the Word when you hear all the time out in the field. It really doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. How sad. You can be sincerely wrong. Growing is a continuous process. Our government knows that. That's why it spends billions and billions of dollars for public education. Our communities build 20,000 junior high and high schools so we can get more kids. 20 million students are in those junior high and high schools because our government says they need to learn. Growing in the Word is also a continuing process. Paul said to the young pastor Timothy, "And what you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And if you read through 2 Timothy carefully, as I try to read regularly because I'm a pastor and still learning, Paul is saying that, Timothy, you need to be in the Word. And you need to be teaching the people the Word. We need to do what Paul said. "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." The children's books are good when they're children. When I grew up, Dad and Mom kept telling me about Jesus and what he did for me. He died for me. They told me again and again, and I needed to hear that. And I need to hear it also again and again today, but I need to step up and hear other things of the Holy Scriptures. Because we're coming to a point where they're going to turn to the church, and that's you and me. Where do you stand on things? Right now, what makes a marriage? We have to say, God says, a man and a woman who are committed for life. What do you think of homosexuality? What do you think of abortion? What do you think of other things? And you and I are going to have to go to God's Word and say, this is what it says. I remember one time I was in a big discussion with a pastor. He was of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I thank God he's retired. But in our discussion, we were talking about the Word of God, and he said, "Jack, you need to understand that much of it was added later on. It really shouldn't have been in our Bibles." And we got going on issues back and forth, and finally he stopped in the middle of all of it, and he said, "Jack, you think you're right." And I said, "I am." Now, I'm not saying that to boast of this guy, but the point is that when you see something in the Holy Scriptures, it's true because the Holy Scripture has the absolute truth. And you can be proud of that. Yes, our spiritual resource is the Bible. It is the Word of God. The Bible, you know this verse very well. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it has a purpose. It says it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you get into the parish, it seems like the feeling is that youth really don't like the Word of God. Laymen don't like to hear the Word of God. And you hear the rumblings even from pastors saying we have to entertain our people. And they're busy at entertaining. They're sending kids in big trips. Entertain, entertain. You know, to me, it's like two little second graders that were outside playing during break time. A plane went overhead, and the one said, "You know, that's a BX-50. And the other one said, "No, look at it carefully. It's a BX-51. You can tell by the sweep of the plane. "Oh, I guess you're right." The other one said, "It's not going more than 750 miles per hour either because it didn't break the sound barrier." Then the other one said, "It's amazing the pressure that develops on those planes when they go into a dive, almost 1,200 pounds per square inch." That's right. The bell rings. And one boy says, "We better go in now because we have to string those beads again." The same thing is happening in the church. People are saying, the laymen don't need that. The youth don't need that. But folks, they need the meat of the Word. They really do. Pastors so many times think, the youth don't want that, don't need that, and laymen. Everyone, we need the Word of God. Because we are working in an area today where immoral sex is all over the place. Drug scene, I could go into detail on all of these things I'm mentioning. The cults, worshiping of Satan, I dealt with a fifth generation Satanist, dealt with a whole year. We have to deal with this stuff. The pressures of the world, the financial pressures, all these things, and the list goes on and on. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this word speaks to all the issues. And it cuts deep. Because the Bible itself says it's like a double-edged sword. It cuts, it opens, and it heals. Do you understand what I'm saying based on the word? You need it, I need it, our families need it, and our churches need it. Yes, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe without any doubt that he lived the perfect life for all of us. We believe that he suffered for all of us in our rotten sins. We believe that he died on the cross and said from the cross, it is finished, it's over, it's done. We believe that he rose from the grave to give us the victory. We believe that. But we also believe in all of the other truths of God's word. We believe what we need to do when Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we do, we're saying to Jesus just what the disciples said. Lord, teach us. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we're sinful, but we're forgiven, but we need to grow. So from our hearts, we're saying to you, teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.